Hi, welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today I'm joined by my teammate, Corey Fowler, and I have an announcement to make about Corey. You're going to be seeing a little bit more of him on this show in the coming weeks because he is going to be the new co-host of WebCamps, and he is going to start doing shows pertinent to his specialty, which is open source web development, PHP, and I'll just let him tell you.
Yeah, basically PHP. Okay. You know, a couple other open source technologies. Might dabble a little bit in Node and stuff like that, even though it's someone else's thing. But showing interconnectivity between, you know, two open platforms is a very important thing.
Cool. So good to know. So we'll be the web guys. So you'll see Corey from time to time on CloudCover as well. So with that, we're going to go ahead and dive right in today. Today's show is actually going to be focused on the funny you should mention Node, because we're actually going to be talking about the Node CLI tools, which is a open source, it's open source, right?
Yep.
Okay. Written by the Azure team, yeah. It's an open source set of sort of like the PowerShell commandlets for Windows Azure, but these are specific to Windows Azure websites. So if you want to do any like command line management of your websites, you would actually use the Node CLI tools. I think Scott Hanselman wrote a blog post on it recently, but you'll get to see it happen today, so that'll be really cool, like live video. So that'll be good stuff. And I think we have ASCII art to show you as well. So
we do.
I'll just be quiet and let my co-host take over from here. It'll be awesome.
Awesome. Just want to start off and show the Windows Azure website. Just because of the new spring release, there's lots of new things going on, which is, you know, some of the interesting stuff that we're going to bring today. But one of the things to note is that Windows Azure, even though it has been in the past and, you know, people have been building things with Java, PHP, and other open source languages, we have a focus towards making sure that there's, you know, it's a very interoperable platform and it'll work for open source technologies. So that's one of the things to highlight here is Windows Azure is flexible, open, meaning we are open and welcoming open source things to be built on our platform, and it's rock solid. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good. So let's just jump into the tools themselves.
Cool.
And as you mentioned, there is some really awesome ASCII art up here at the top. But one of the things that you said was this is for websites only, and that's not true at all.
That's not true? Okay.
No, you can basically do anything that you want to. Windows Azure websites, virtual machines. Support for cloud services is coming. Right now you can list out what cloud services you have, but you can't actually do anything like upload package files or anything along those lines.
Gotcha.
But that stuff's still to come. So
that's
awesome.
Why he's the co-host, so he can correct me. It's good.
Awesome, awesome ASCII art. One of the things I absolutely love about the open source community is they love their ASCII art, and I love my ASCII art as well. But you know, getting into the tools, the first thing we need to do is actually set up our account. So we'll just type in Azure account download, and that's going to take us off to Windows Azure, and it's going to say, hey, you know, you need a published settings file to actually interact with these tools. The published settings file is actually used for a lot of different things, like web deploy, which you're pretty used to, and I'm pretty sure you had a show showing off web deploy in WebMatrix.
Yeah, we used that in a WebMatrix show, I believe, a couple of different episodes, actually, the whole week of WebMatrix. If you haven't looked at that, you should, especially if you're into PHP. So we have a couple of shows on PHP and Node, and that's what the publish feature does in WebMatrix. And I've also used it a lot from Visual Studio. And Syed Hashimi was on the show, and he did a show specific to web deploy from within Visual Studio 2012 and talked about how it'll deploy your database and more than just your HTML code. So,
cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have an easy way to just go and get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we have that published settings file, we can just go in and say Azure account import. And essentially what this is going to allow us to do is get all of those settings into our tools so we're ready to go and start interacting with our Windows Azure subscription. So we just have Azure published settings. Oops. There we go. Forgot the S.
No worries.
And there you can see that we have our published settings are now loaded. You can find out which settings you have loaded by saying Azure config list, and that will list out all of the settings that you have in there. So you can see my subscription ID. We're going over port 443, which is SSL, and we're hitting the management endpoint manage.core.windows.net, which is the management API. So now we have all of our subscription settings popped up. Let's just jump in here and we'll say Azure Site, and we'll figure out what kind of things that we can do with Windows Azure websites from the command line tools. So you can see at the top here, we have Azure Site List, so we can list the current sites that we have deployed. We can do things like create or delete. Mm-hmm. We can browse out to our website or go off to the portal, and we'll show a couple of those things. You can start and stop IIS or the website from the tools as well. And you can interact with the deployments that you have. So if you wanted to list out the deployments you have up there, mm-hmm. see how many times you've actually iterated over your site and launched something out. Or if you need to go back to a previous deployment, we can go through that as well.
Nice.
So from here, I'm just going to create a quick site just to get us started. I'm just going to move into our source directory and create a new directory called Webcamps TV. There we go. We'll just move into the Webcamps TV. So we can say Azure Site Create Webcamps TV. And I'm going to enable Git deployment. Mm-hmm. So what this is going to do is it goes off to the management API and says, hey, I need a new website. Can you create that for me? It's going to initialize a Git repository on the remote server. Mm-hmm. So we have something to publish into. Then it's going to come back here and say, okay, I have this website ready. Please initialize a Git Git repository on the local machine and add this remote to it. So it automatically knows exactly where you're going to go publish to. And interesting enough, if you see here, I have PoshGit installed, which shows Git enhancements in the PowerShell command, the PowerShell window. And you can see that it's added a file for me. So let's go take a look and see what that file is. We just do Git status. And you see that we have a Git ignore file that's been sitting in there. So we'll just add that in. And now we're pretty much ready to publish.
Cool.
But it's not really exciting to see that. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and just create a really quick file. Yeah, we'll copy it from my existing file I have here. And we'll say git add, and this is going to add that index.html file. We have to commit, so we know that we have all those changes in there. So we'll say initial commit. And now we just need to publish, so we're just going to git push Azure master. And pushing to Azure is that remote that we're mm-hmm. pushing to, so that's going to be our website. And master is just the branch that we have currently selected.
Cool.
All right, now that we've done that, we just enter our password for our repository, and we're good to go. And this is just going to go off to the website and publish our file. So we'll just jump in here, and we'll see our deployment pop up in a couple seconds here. And it's just going to load automatically. This is just showing that we have Git set up in the meantime. And there's our deployment, and it's now active. So now I kind of jumped ahead a little bit and just introduced the website without saying anything whatsoever.
Sorry.
So I'm just going to back up a little bit and show off. This is the brand new Windows Azure Management Portal. And essentially what this allows you to do is, now that it's HTML5, you can essentially check it from any browser mm-hmm. on any device. So I was on the bus on the weekend, and I was like, oh, I really got to check something out on my deployment. Went in on my Windows phone and was just playing around in the Azure Management Portal. Nice. I was just kind of like, oh, this is really neat. As you can see here, it's actually tracking some of the traffic already. And because we're in a shared instance, we have a couple of different usage quotas. Mm-hmm. So all your quotas are here for you to check out. And essentially, you can just keep on going with this free website. Part of the spring release is we're giving out 10 free websites just for signing up. And you can try it out and actually use those for, I believe it's a year?
It's a year. Mm-hmm. So you can have you can sign up with a free account, opt in for the websites feature, which I believe, I don't even think you have to opt in for. I think it's just assume that you want it, and you'll have 10 sites for a year for free on shared instances. I don't know if that'll be extended or if it will always be a year, but it will definitely go beyond your 90-day free full-on Azure free trial. So it actually extends longer than that. So if you sign up now with a free trial, you'll have websites a year from now. So that's good.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yep.
So now we have our site out there, what can we actually do with it? So I showed you that you can just go to Azure site and that basically lists all the different things out. What I'm going to do is I'm actually just going to pop that file back open. And I totally forgot to do this. I needed an exclamation mark there. And we'll just add this back to Git and commit it back to our repository. Forgot exclamation mark. There we go. And then we'll just push it back to Windows Azure, git push Azure master, and type in our password. And you'll go back here and we can see, once again, we'll have another deployment out there. Mm-hmm. And there you go. We actually have a deployment. Well, one of the editors came by and said, oh no, we don't want to use exclamation marks anymore because it's too forceful. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go back and we can actually, from the command line, type in Azure site deployment redeploy and paste in that token. And now we'll actually get prompted to say, do you really want to redeploy this? So it gives us the option to say no. But we're going to say yes because exclamation points are bad. We don't want to force people into webcams. And now you can see that it switched down as the bottom one being active again. And if we go back to the portal, you see the exact same thing. Our forgot exclamation point check-in has now been reverted back to our initial commit.
Cool.
Then if we want to browse out and actually see the site to make sure that it worked, we can go to Azure site browse. And basically this is going to pull up our website and it says, hello, Webcams TV.
Nice.
So it's pretty exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say we accidentally close down all our tabs and we're like, oh no, I really need to get back to the management portal really quick because I forgot to scale up my site while I was there. Mm-hmm. We just go to Azure Site Portal and it will pop the portal back up. You may need to sign in, depending if you spend a little bit of time getting to this point. And now that we've signed back in, we didn't have to open a web browser, we didn't have to type out the portal URL. It basically just brought it right back to here.
Nice.
So now that we're back here, we can just go in and we can say, okay, how are we going to scale up our site? So you can see at the top we have a scale tab. And we'll just take a quick run through here and see what's happening. So as you can see at the top, we're currently in a shared instance. But at any time we can decide, hey, maybe we want to flip over to reserved. And what that will do is pull our site out into our own instances instead of in a shared pool that a whole bunch of other people are on. And it basically takes the same architecture, just pops it over to something that you own, and you now have full reign to start scaling up.
Cool.
Once you go to reserved, you actually have the ability to CNAME your site. So you can actually take your custom URL and point it directly to your website.
Okay.
So that's that you're able to do that. And we're just going to pop up the instance count here to 3 instances. And we'll just save it and turn it on.
Now, can we use the Node.js CLI tools to actually change the instance count? Like, could we back that down to 1?
Currently, no.
Okay.
There's
okay.
No way to actually scale right now in the okay. tools. But the next thing we're going to show you is how to actually figure out from the tools how many instances you've been scaled up
cool.
on.
Okay.
So now that we've flipped over to 3 instances, and that was relatively quick, let's just pop back to the tools here. And we'll say Azure Site Show, and that will basically go out, retrieve all of the configuration settings for our site. And you can see at the bottom here, number of workers is 3.
Nice.
So we know that it's now scaled out on 3 separate instances.
Awesome.
Cool.
Fantastic.
So we'll just pop back in here. We'll bring it back down to 1. And just to show off the speed, because it took us a little bit of talking time, I'm just going to go in here and I'm going to Azure Site Show. And in about the amount of time it takes, you can see now that number of workers is back down to 1.
Nice.
That's really quick scaling. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't get quicker than that, you know, basically anywhere else.
And I noticed something. Since you're in the Webcams TV site folder, since you're in there, it actually knows which site you want to work with. If you were like at your root or like at your C prompt, you'd want to like actually type the name of the site, right?
Yeah, if you have multiple websites or you're in a folder, like I could be in the websites folder, but it's like, oh yeah, what was that other site that I'm working on? I could type in and just provide the name of the site as a parameter.
Awesome.
And that will pull down the information for that site.
Cool, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So now that we've gone through that, there's one last thing that you really need to think about. And we'll just go back to the portal for a second just to show people how to turn these options on. But if you go back to the Configure tab right beside Scale tab, essentially you have the ability to choose the different frameworks that you have. So the PHP developers that I know will be in PHP 5.3, or you know, we'll hopefully be adding more support for other versions of PHP in the future.
Right.
.NET folks have the ability to do V2 and V4 .NET code. This host names area here is where you'd be able to add that custom CNAME when you do flip over to the reserved instance.
Okay.
The part that I really want to focus on here is diagnostics. So you have the ability to go and turn on different diagnostic log traces within IIS, and basically the tools will allow you just to download all this stuff automatically. So we'll just go in, we'll turn on all of them, we'll let this run up. We'll continue down through this thing just so it has the ability to log a couple little pieces of information,
okay,
and then we'll go back to the tools and show how to download.
Cool.
So this app settings area is really neat for .NET developers. Mm-hmm. Do you want to kind of cover what the app settings do?
Sure. If you have a, let's say you have a ASP.NET application, and in that app you're using the app settings section in your config file. So you've got a web config and you've got different messages or different strings that you want to set as configurable.
So like a database connection string?
Well, I always, you could do that. You could put your database connection string in your app setting, but I usually try to keep all that into the connection string section. Yeah. So if you're, but there's nothing wrong with using app settings for that if you have like a particular, you know, architecture in place where you're reading stuff from app settings rather than the other.
Maybe I shouldn't have said database connection string, but right, say we were connecting like storage or something along those
good
lines.
Good point, yeah. So if
or
you're
service
using like
bus.
Or service bus. Yeah. So like you've got your namespace like listed in your app setting. whenever you upload your ASP.NET site with the web config that has all your app settings in it, now this section of the portal will not actually show you a list of all the different app settings that you have. It will just allow you the ability to add them in right here. So let's say you have one called Message and it says Hello World, and then you want to change it to like Hello from Windows Azure. You would actually go in here and type message in the key and then type whatever you want the value of that message to be in the value box and hit save down in the bottom. And whenever you do that, what will happen is it won't actually edit your web config, but there's like a layer of configuration magic that sits on top of the normal configuration magic. It will basically just kind of put that record somewhere else. So whenever you download your web config, it'll be whatever it was when you uploaded it. This past week, there was a conference here in Redmond called ASPConf, ASP.NET conference, and it was all done online. And I actually did a show on Windows Azure websites, and I walked through that example and some other examples. I go into not as great a detail as Corey's gone into with the command line tools, but if you're interested, you can actually go to the ASPConf site. I think it's ASPConf.net. And there's a list of all the different videos. You can find the Windows Azure website video and see all the stuff we're talking about here. And
the videos are also here on Channel 9 as well, though, right?
Yeah, I think that's where you get redirected to from ASPConf.net. Okay. So if you go out there, you'll find it. We go through TFS deployment in that, Git, FTP, and Web Deploy. We talk a little bit about how Web Deploy will do, it'll actually push your database, and using Entity Framework migrations, it'll actually change your schema on the fly. If you have seed data in your configuration for Entity Framework, it'll actually insert all the seed data when the application starts up for the first time. And I show all that in that talk, so if you want to check that out. Hopefully you're at ASPConf. If you weren't, you definitely need to go watch the videos, because there's some great videos out there specific to ASP.NET, but a lot of stuff on Azure as well, since we want you to publish your ASP.NET site to Azure because it's a great hosting framework. So,
cool.
But we go through all that stuff in pretty great detail. Talk about unit testing with TFS and some other stuff. So, we get into some level of detail.
Awesome.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is on the deployments page in the dashboard here, can you actually change which deployment is active directly from the deployment portal?
Page? Here we go. So yeah, you can definitely do that. All you need to do is go up and click on the forgot exclamation mark deployment. We're just going to go down here and hit redeploy. This is going to prompt us to make sure that we actually want to go and do that. And we're just going to say yes. And basically within a couple of seconds, it's going to flip the active deployment up.
Cool.
It's just that fast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And then on the monitor tab, I think we have some stuff out there as well.
Yeah. So now that I went to the Configure tab and turned on all of those different mm-hmm. all the different monitoring aspects of like IIS log, trace logs, and all that.
Right.
You can actually change the metrics that get tracked in the portal just by adding the or clicking on the Add Metrics button here. And you see a number of them are checked off by default. If you want to check for site security, you know, people are trying to hit your site, find your trying to log in, and mm-hmm. they actually don't log in, they air out. You know, turn on 403 errors, see how many people are trying to hit your site and doing 404 errors. So I use this, actually, I just moved my blog over to Windows Azure websites. I'm hosting a WordPress blog on Windows Azure websites. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about the permanent links. Oops. Yeah. So what I did is I went and turned on my HTTP 404 errors. And this is actually something that alerted me to let me know that, oh, hey, you know, you don't have those permanent links. People are coming to your site and it's not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly went in, changed the configuration in WordPress, got my permalinks re-enabled for my existing blog provider.
Nice.
And now all the links out there on the web actually come back to my site.
Nice. Cool.
So it actually helped me out. So you just turn on a couple of different things. We can hit OK. It'll take a couple seconds, and you see here that they get added to the back of the bottom of the monitoring page.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we have all this log information, like, how are we going to use it?
Right.
You know, how do we get it? It's all taken care of up here. So let's go back into the tools. We'll just say Azure Site Log Download. And basically what this is going to do is going to go off to our site, find all those log information. And if I don't provide a path to where I want those logs to go, it just shows up in the root of the site that I've just downloaded to. So you can see here, diagnostics.zip.
Mm-hmm.
We can go in here, we can look at the collected information,
nice.
And figure out what's going on with our site.
Nice. And if you're wondering what's in those logs, Corey turned on three different boxes. He turned on detailed error messages, failed request tracing, and your standard, you know, website log traffic. I go through some of that in the ASPConf show as well.
Sure.
But the failed request stuff is really, really cool. Whenever you go out there, you'll see there's a couple of different folders. One of them is going to be like W3C, whatever the name is. That'll be where your IIS logs are stored. And there'll be one that'll be detailed errors. And when you go into that folder, there's actually going to be an HTML page for every single request somebody makes on your site that generates an error. Imagine like the blue and white IIS error page.
Mm-hmm.
For every single time that error would be shown to a user, it'll actually take the file and put it into that folder. So you can download every error that would have been shown to a user throughout the like whole history of your site. And then the last thing that's in there, I think it's the failed request stuff, is in the, I can't remember which folder it is. You want to FTP up there real quick and
sure.
show them the folder structure? The last thing you'll see is a pretty long series of XML files in one folder, and that they all live in one place. With those XML files, there's actually one XSL file or XSLT file, I can't remember which one. Whenever you download those files to your hard drive, if you were to double-click on the XML file or just open up an IE, it'll be formatted with that XSL sheet, and there is tracing data, data about like allocation, everything you can possibly think of, down to data that you would not be able to interpret. It's so low level. Just everything you can think of in terms of like every single hit on your site that causes some sort of a failure. It's all out there. So you can actually download those individual XML files. We actually haven't hit the site. I thought about that. We actually haven't browsed to the site yet at all. We did like Azure site browse. I'm going to actually hit his site. And if you want to just type in a HTML page that doesn't exist, like Corey.html or this isn't here, .html, perfect, cool. And it might take a second for the FTP to actually, you know, refresh everything that's out there. We do a refresh. There we go. So you'll see the detailed errors, the HTTP, and then the W3C, yada, yada, yada. If you were to go in the W3C folder, you'll just be able to download all your normal IIS log traffic. There's your XML files, et cetera, et cetera. One thing we do want to point out is I think it's something like 100 megs per site. You get like a gig of space overall. You'll want to think about that if you turn on logging, especially if you turn on all three areas of logging, because those log files will live in your site's folder. So if you have a lot of log files over a long span of time, or if you find out that there's a bug on your site that's caused 400 or 500 errors over the last month, you're going to want to FTP in your site and download your logs or use the CLI tools to download the logs, because that will take up room in your very, very precious website storage space, because you'll want to use that for images and stuff, not log files. So I do want to point that out. One thing that I know Corey's talked about doing is writing some sort of a program that'll actually go out and grab them all and clear them out. But he's laughing because he just got volunteered for that. So.
Yeah.
But that's something that the engineering team has actually asked us to remind you of repeatedly, is that if you've got logging turned on, you'll want to be very, how can I put this? Particular
you
about
want to
downloading
habitually go back to your website and mm-hmm. download your log files.
Yes, as often as possible. Maybe set up even some sort of FTP batch or something.
So. Or potentially a calendar reminder. You know, if you're a little bit low tech and you mm-hmm. don't want to go batch something out, you just set up a reminder and, you know, every other day or once a week and go clear out your log files.
Then. Cool. Or if you're high tech, you could set up something like a winat command or a runat command and run the CLI tools like in a batch file. Just download everything. You probably want to delete stuff too, but at least you're downloading on a regular basis.
And if you really wanted to get high tech, you could potentially just go and write some code that would push it out to table storage or blob storage instead of actually having it sit within your 1 gig of space on your website.
Cool. He's trying to get out of work. So.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone. But.
Yeah, it's true. I don't really have anything else to ask.
Well, the one thing I did want to mention, because we haven't really mentioned it yet, is what kind of support do we have for these CLI tools?
Cool.
And like I said, the platform is open. So we're asking people to come from a whole bunch of different platforms, which includes, you know, the typical, you know, PHP developer, which runs on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, sometimes Linux. So we actually have support for these tools if you go into the PHP Developer Center for Windows, Mac, and Linux. So right off the bat, if you go to Linux, you download a tar.gz file, and eventually you can just unpack the files and get them into your prompt. The Mac installer actually brings up a nice GUI and walks you through setting it up and installing. On Windows, to get them installed, you actually have to use the Node Package Manager. Because our default story on Windows is to use the PowerShell commandlets,
cool.
which unfortunately at this point don't have the support for websites. So mm-hmm. If you do want to use websites, you can use the Node tools for now. But the PowerShell tools have a lot more features towards cloud services and VMs. So if you're in that kind of world, those tools will really help you out there.
Cool. So if you're only doing websites, you'll definitely want to use the Node tools.
Yeah.
If you're doing websites, cloud services, VMs, and other kinds of things, you want to use the commandlets, but you can't use the commandlets for Windows Azure websites yet. So there's no website support. I do want to point out, you actually didn't mention this and you didn't make a big deal out of it. You see all the boxes here. So like the Node CLI tools, you can use from pretty much any platform. I mean, I'm sure that Node developers know that, but the actual CLI tools will run anywhere. So you can actually work on your Mac without using, you know, some sort of a VM technology or whatever. You don't need Windows anymore. You can actually just deploy from whatever OS you're using. So that's good to know.
For websites.
Yeah, for websites.
And then when cloud services support comes in, you'll be able to do everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So the one last thing is, now that we have our site created and we've done work for it, well, it's now time to say goodbye, right? So we're going to say Azure site delete. It's going to prompt us if we actually want to delete our site or not. I'm going to say yes. And it's going to go out and delete our site. So from here, I'm just going to do an Azure site list. All of the websites that we have hosted in Windows Azure, which I don't have any more in this account because I just deleted them.
Cool. That's awesome.
So that's basically end-to-end everything you can do within the Windows Azure CLI command line tools for Windows Azure.
That's not everything you can do, but
no, it's not
a lot of stuff.
Everything. But I mean, everything within websites, basically. With the exception of stopping and starting a site, which is just oh so painful to demo because you don't see anything really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It just happens.
You can take the site down, browse to it, it's no longer available, you bring the site back up, and it's there.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And there's a lot of other commands in there. One thing that I frequently do, you want to just do the Azure so you can show everybody like the list of commands. Pretty much all these commands, and I've done this a lot just to learn the different commands. If you were to do Azure account -H or Azure account, I think you can actually leave it blank, and it will tell you all the different commands associated with that particular area.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and you can't remember all the different commands that it can do, like Corey can because he uses it pretty religiously, I'm probably more of a Portal GUI guy. But that's how I remember everything. I don't actually remember it. I just remember WAC H. So
yeah.
It helps a lot.
No, that's a really good thing to point out.
Cool. Yeah. But I have nothing else. And please join me in welcoming Corey in your commentary on this show's comments board. Please join me in welcoming him to the show because he's going to be a regular member of the behind the table here. He'll be back here helping us out. And hopefully he's going to bring some of his PHP homeboys on to talk about some more open source stuff, which is good. And I think I'm done.
Great.
Do you have anything else you want to throw out there, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'm really excited to start bringing content. Cool. Like I really would like to see a lot of stuff getting pushed out there.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
And thank you guys. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Take care.